And now, from the Center for Common Sense Counseling, here's Roland Trujillo.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the program. My name is Roland. I'm your host. And I'm delighted to be here. And I hope that I will have something of value for you. Well, I have something of immense value. But what I hope is that you will be able to receive it. You know, Christ once said something very interesting. He was telling parables. He used a parable. You know, he used stories to make some point. But then afterwards, he said that to his disciples there, the ones who were enlightened, he said, to you it is given to know the secrets of heaven, but for everyone else, I put it in a simple story. And then he said something very interesting. He quoted something from Isaiah, which is, you know, we're, you know, hearing, but they don't understand, seeing, but they don't perceive. See? And so the question is, can you receive what I'm saying? The average person today has been totally corrupted. Absolutely and totally corrupted by too much of everything. Too much texting, too many video games, too much internet, too much use of the cell phone, an iPhone, too much of music, too much socializing, too much promiscuous sex, too many drugs. I see people lining up at Starbucks in the morning. I see women lining up. You know, my mother, God rest her soul, she made some mistakes. She made some big mistakes even when I was a little kid. But she got some things right. And one of the things she got right was she was very frugal. And when we didn't have a lot of money, she didn't go out and spend a lot of money. She didn't have money to spend. Now I see women standing in line at Starbucks and buying themselves some kind of a big, you know, I don't know what the drinks are called, but loaded with all kinds of stuff. Loaded with calories, I'm sure. And then some kind of a breakfast sandwich or some kind of a pastry or something, and they spend $6, $7, $8, $9, $10, $11 just like that. And what a waste. I feel like saying, you know, I have a banana for breakfast, which I buy cheaply at the grocery store. I don't pay 99 cents at, you know, standing in line at the coffee shop for it. And then later I have a little bit of oatmeal made at home. See? So what kind of an example are these women setting? Setting a terrible example. They've been totally corrupted. Totally, totally corrupted. And so, what can I say? What can I say to the world that has been totally corrupted? The world, because of that, see, we all walk around feeling a little, why do we people feel uneasy? A little bit uneasy, a little bit nervous, a little bit anxious, a little bit edgy, a little bit uncomfortable. What? Why is that? You know, one of the big reasons is because they're guilty. They are guilty for not living life properly. See, every little thing that you do, whether it's spending a penny that you'd be better off to save, whether it's gossiping, see, whether it's, you know, giving your child a video game to keep the child busy while you're yapping on the cell phone, whether you're spending, you know, money manicuring your nails or buying some useless item at the store. See, you fritter your life away, a life without meaning, a life without purpose, a wasted life. See? That's not good. And how about you men? Have a little talk with you men after the break. I shall be right back. Please listen to this important announcement. Would you like a really positive attitude? If so, you must learn how not to be upset. If you are easily upset, it is because you are too reactive. In order to be calm, you must learn the secret of responding to inner principle instead of external tease. To learn the secret of not reacting with resentment and upset, go to commonsensecounseling.org, where you can download a free introductory copy of the meditation exercise. By relating humbly to inner principle, you can overlook others' cruelty and also overlook your own negative thoughts and emotions. By having remained unmoved, you are free to discern the meaning of the moment and respond with patience. The self-control you receive will restore confidence and a positive attitude based on a love of principle and having patience with others. Visit commonsensecounseling.org and start living instead of reacting.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. Now, how about you men? See, if anybody ought to have a life of meaning, a life of purpose, a sober life, a thoughtful life, it ought to be you men, setting a good example. But what kind of life do you lead? Do you waste your time on watching sports? Do you waste your time... I don't know, what do people do? Play video games. Do you waste your time playing video games? Do you waste your time engaging in silly gossip? It used to be that men acted like men, that they were a little bit thoughtful. Now you see men acting silly, gossiping, making silly talk, wearing, you know. You can even tell by what a man wears, whether he's thoughtful and wise and so on or not. See, you're supposed to be setting a good example for your wives and children. So what kind of an example do you set if you don't marry your whoever you're living with? If you don't get married, where is the honor? Where is the honor? There is no honor. See? Shall I go on? So what we need then is for people to start acting more mature, for people to start acting with a sense of decorum, a sense of propriety, acting decently, see? Now, you're not going to get any help from, you know, the Hollywood crowd or the people in the entertainment business. You're not going to get any help from them. They set a poor example. But you see what they're doing? What they're doing is they are giving you what they think you want, and maybe what you sort of do want, but it's not what you really want. See, somebody once said, and I can't remember how to say it, there's a really good way of saying it, and I never get it quite right, but somebody once said, they said, what we need is for someone to help us to be what we are, to help us to be what we could be. See? So, for example, you know, when I talk to kids, I talk to them honestly, and not, I don't cater to them. I don't pander to them. See, I don't know how to describe it, but you talk to, when you're teaching, you teach as if they already knew the answer and all they had to do was discover it. So you talk in that sort of a way. But anyway, what I was saying is that what has happened is that news and entertainment and,
you know, the journalism and movies and everything, it's become a temptation. You know, catering to the lowest common denominator, offering something that's a little bit titillating, a little bit exciting, a little naughty, a little nasty, see, a little out of place, a little inappropriate, a little filthy, see? Tease, tease, tease. And then if you respond to it with excitement and you like it, well, you're reacting to temptation. You're not living your own life. You're reacting to temptation. On the other hand, if you resent it, then judge the people, see, judge them with a little pinch of resentment, then you're also reacting to the temptation, see? Either way, there has to be a way where you see the error, you see that it's wrong, or you see that it's out of place or in error. You don't resent the people, you don't resent the person, you see that it's wrong, you stand back from it, you have nothing to do with it, and from time to time, see, if appropriate, it's not always appropriate, then you speak up about it or correct the person who's in error, see? But without anger, simply because you're speaking the truth. See what I mean? So you have to find a way of becoming distant to temptation. Not hiding from it. You have to learn how to be in the world but not of the world. But see, what has happened is, see, you know, it used to be that there were people that were too rigid. You know, they were too mean, they were too, hard-nosed about things in a mean way, in an angry way, in a hypocritical way, see? And that wasn't good. But now it's swung way to the other extreme. Now you have people who have no ethics, no morals, no backbone, no honor, no decency, no class, see? No purpose in life, see? And they're still holding up the old-fashioned, rigid, hypocritical, mean-type person. They're holding that up as what they're rebelling against, but that old-fashioned, hypocritical, mean-type person no longer exists. Now it's just wall-to-wall silly foolishness. See? Catering to the lowest common denominator. So you're going to have to learn how to stand back and not resent it on the one hand or go for it excitedly on the other hand. Hello, everyone. Many people have emotional and mental health issues. Many people have been diagnosed with adult ADD, bipolar disorder, social anxiety disorder, obsessive compulsive disorder, depression. Many Christians would like to hear something positive and practical from someone who successfully overcame such issues. I'd like to tell you about a friend of mine. His name is Mike. He wrote a book called Mike's Story. Mike got unstuck, conquered his issues, and left them behind. Mike wrote to me about his successes, and I was so excited and moved by his story that I helped him put it into a book. It's called Mike's Story. I'd like you to preview the book and perhaps even obtain a copy of Mike's Story in paperback, Kindle, or Barnes & Noble Nook Book. If you'd like to preview Mike's Story, go to talktoapastor.org. That's www.talktoapastor.org and look for Mike's Story. See, we're talking today about living a life with some dignity. Look, you don't feel good about yourself if you live like a slob, if you look like a slob and act like a slob and talk like a slob. See? In public, or if you act somewhat nice in public but then live like a slob in person. You know, it can be very little things. You know, when you go into a restaurant, for example, like let's say Starbucks or Pete's or whatever, you go into the restaurant and then you have to tie your shoe. Do you just put your foot up onto the chair and to tie your shoe? See? Well, then the next person comes along, they're going to sit in that chair that you just had your shoe on, which you put dirt and filth from the ground and the floor onto the chair, see? So the thoughtful person won't do that. Thoughtful person won't do that. Okay? Now, the reason... Now, let me tell you something else. It's very important. I'm giving you a very basic lesson because you need this basic lesson. You need it. A lot of you, there's been nobody there to talk about these things for you. See, there are two reasons not to put your foot up on the chair when you tie your shoe. Okay? One reason is because, see, you're not doing it because you don't want somebody to point it out and accuse you of being rude. See, that's one reason. Or the other reason is because you resent. See, somebody forced it on you and slapped you around if you put your foot on the chair, so you don't do it out of fear or something like that. See, those are not good reasons. The good reason to not put your foot on the chair when other people are going to sit on the chair is because you see that it's not wise to do so. It's not right to do so. See, like there's two reasons for obeying a traffic sign. One reason is simply because you don't want to get a ticket. I mean, that's all right. I'm glad when people don't want to get a ticket, so they obey the traffic signs. That's, you know, that's good. But there's a better reason. The better reason is because you can see that it's wise to obey the traffic sign. See what I mean? It's wise to do so. See? If your parent asks you, say your mom or someone asks you to do something, and it's proper for you to do, see, it's something that it's your job or you could do as a kindness, then the right reason for doing it is because you can see that it's wise to do so, or it's right to do so, okay? Another reason to do it is because you want to you're conforming to their pressure, or you don't want them to get mad at you, or you want them to like you, see, or you don't want to get yelled at, or see what I mean? Those are all not the right reasons, because you can see that it's wise to do so. So how about eating properly? Do you eat properly? See? Because you see that it's wise to do so. See? So you do the right thing? Do you do the right thing because you see that it's right? See? Not because you want to look good. See, remember Christ said, remember he said, he sort of said the same thing. He said when the hypocrites, they go out in public and pray, you know, so that other people will see them praying and think that they're nice. See? Whereas the person who gets it right goes into their room and closes their door and quietly prays to God and, see, without anyone knowing. Because he sees that it's wise, it's right to do so. You know what I mean? So you have to learn to live your life with a little bit of understanding. Where there's a little bit of understanding in everything you do. Okay? That's the way you have to learn to live your life. And you'll be so much better off. Now look at people, what a problem people have with food nowadays. So what's going on with the food? See, when I was a kid, people ate a lot of junk food too when I was a kid. Candy, candy, candy. Kids were bringing candy to school. They were eating junk food like it was going out of style. Potato chips, cocoa, the whole works. Soft drinks. But back then, see, people didn't have a weight problem. Very, very, very few, very, very, very few had a weight problem. But now it seems like half of the country has a weight problem. Now, what's that all about? Well, I know they're not getting as much exercise, maybe. Maybe there's just too much good stuff to eat, okay, maybe. But I think there's also something going on with the food. The food must have changed. There's something about the food now. Whether it's a MSG or aspartame or genetically modified organisms or engineered food or whatever the chemicals they put in the food. I don't know what it is. But there's something about the food. And then people's habits. See, half the world eats... I saw a statistic where like half the people eat breakfast at McDonald's or something like that. Can you believe that? I mean, 95% of people ought to be having a little something at home. See? A little something at home. And only occasionally. See? Even when I was a single guy living in San Francisco, in my 20s, a single guy. Okay? I went out and had a breakfast, but, bacon and eggs and hash browns and toast, kind of a breakfast, but only on Saturday and Sunday morning. And I would read the newspaper. But during the week, Monday through Friday, see, I'd have a little something at home. See? Or I'd go have something very, very... Well, sometimes I did go somewhere to have a coffee, but I kept everything to a minimum. I never ate dinner out except once a week. Once a week, Friday night, I'd go have something to eat. And even then, I didn't spend a lot of money. But now people are going out all the time. See, just because it's there, you don't have to use it. Just because it's there, you don't have to eat it. Just because it's there, you don't have to watch it. Hi, this is Roland. Do you have relationship issues? Okay, who doesn't have relationship issues? That's why I want to tell you about my most popular book, The Myths and Mysteries of Marriage. Do you and your partner argue all the time? Do you want to understand men and women better? Are you in a relationship and thinking of getting married? Then you will want to preview The Myths and Mysteries of Marriage. You'll find out how to relate better with your partner, reduce your stress, and possibly heal your relationship. Visit www.talktoapastor.org and look for Myths and Mysteries of Marriage. You'll be glad you did. Oh, incidentally, I want to tell you about a special that we have. For a donation of any amount, I'll send you a PDF of The Myths and Mysteries of Marriage by email as a token of my appreciation. That's for a donation of any amount. I'll send you a PDF of The Myths and Mysteries of Marriage by email so you can start reading it right away. All right, ladies and gentlemen, well, what I have such wonderful things, the books that I've written, the meditations that I have. Literally, my meditation will helps you to get back in touch with your own inner ground of good, helps you to refine your intuition again, so you can, and see, I talk about how to become a friend of your intuition again, a friend of conscience, a friend of God. I wrote a beautiful book called Becoming a Friend of God. It's such a sweet and beautiful book. Guess how many people order it? Practically nobody. I can hardly give them away. I guess it's probably too threatening. People can sense that there's truth in it, something. See, as long as you are unwilling to face the truth, as long as there's something you don't want to admit, you don't want to admit the truth, then you will shy away from truth. That's right. You'll shy away from intuition, your own source of inner source of wisdom. You'll shy away and you'll gravitate toward hypnotic involvements. You'll gravitate toward your drugs and your alcohol and your marijuana and your music and your parties and your all your socializing and your internet and your texting, and you'll gravitate toward all those things. You become totally externalized, see? And the more you're separated from your own intuition, the more that inner fount of wisdom does not flow into your life, see? The more errors you make, the more of a libertine lifestyle you live, the more mistakes you make. And the more mistakes you make, the less you want to see that you're making mistakes. As your life becomes a mess, your relationships become a mess. You don't want to see it. Then the more you don't want to see it, the more you shy away from it. You see how that works? So now you see why there is a true repentance. And that true repentance is the beginning of a new and wonderful life. And repentance is coming back in touch with your own inner ground of good again. See? And the good is so good that it makes you feel bad because it's good. If you could just allow yourself to be penetrated by the truth and stop fighting it, stop resisting the truth, realize that it's your friend. See? There was a great a man who started, I think it was a Marshall Field department store, Fields or Field, I can never remember, but in Chicago, beautiful store. He said, the customer that complains is my friend because he's making me aware of something that needs correction. So your conscience is your friend. See, once you realize that, then you can become a friend of conscience, a friend of intuition, start living your life with purpose, with dignity, with a little bit of honor, and you'll be so much better off. My name is Roland. Hello, everybody. I happen to believe that the meditation exercise is the key to a stress-free, centered way of living. And I'd like to help you get started. A lot of people would love to have a beautiful CD of the four-part meditation to listen to at home or to take with them in the car. And so if you'd like to have a beautiful CD of the four-part meditation, go to talktoapastor.org or commonsensecounseling.org. Either one will work just fine. As a special offer, I will also send you two free ebooks when you order the meditation CD. To receive the meditation CD by mail and two free ebooks, go to talktoapastor.org. Or commonsensecounseling.org. Yes, a clarion call to start living with some honor, with some propriety, with some dignity, with some modesty. And life could be oh so sweet and oh so good. Check out the resources that I have at commonsensecounseling.org. That's commonsensecounseling.org. Until next time, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, I'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Been listening to Roland Trujillo from the Center for Common Sense Counseling. Now you can listen to Roland anytime by logging on to www.commonsensecounseling.org. You'll find lots of free helpful information, and you can also order materials or make a donation by using your credit card. Once again, the web address is commonsensecounseling.org. Please remember that Roland's program is listener supported. Thank you.